Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to look at verse 16 and 17 today. Gospel of Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 and verse 17. As you're able, would you please stand with me and we'll read the Word of God here. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. Now, church, read the last three words with me. Ready? But some doubted. Please understand, this is not 11 casual bystanders. This is the 11 of the 12 disciples. One is dead. Judas had gone out and hung himself for his betrayal. Now, listen. This is 11 disciples who had been very close to Jesus for that 3.5 years of his earthly ministry. This is 11 disciples who saw amazing things. Some of these disciples would see things that no one else had ever seen before. And Jesus had said, and this is after Christ's resurrection, he said, I want you to go ahead of me to the area of Galilee. And he told them to go up on a mountain and wait for him. And he appeared to them up there. And when he did, look at me, he turned around and they saw Jesus, the Bible says, and they worshiped him, and some doubted. This statement has always got to me when I read that in the Bible, not just because they had doubts. Don't you have doubts this morning? Okay, maybe you don't, and I should have you preach the sermon today. Let me try it one more time. Don't you have some doubts this morning? Okay, just checking. You know, the truth is there are some things I'm doubtful of. And there's some things I just don't understand. But when it says, and some doubted, I was reading that one day many years ago now. I said, but some doubted. I thought, whoa, wait a minute. Those guys should have no doubts whatsoever. I want to talk to you today about how to settle your doubts. Now, can't settle them all. And there are some we're going to doubt. There's some things we're going to doubt about. We're never going to get settled in this life. None. But see, what they doubted here, look at me. They're looking at Jesus in his resurrected body. And there are 11 faithful men who had walked with Jesus for 3.5 years of his earthly ministry. And after they worshiped him, some of them were bowing down and saying, we love you, Lord. But they're looking at him and saying, I'm not sure about all this. I'm going to give you three questions you need to ask and answer today to settle these doubts. Let's pray. Father, bless us this morning. Holy Spirit, I need you to help me today. There's some things I doubt, Father. There's some things I don't have any question in my mind about at all. We need to settle some doubts today, Lord, and I pray this will help us in our lives, direct and guide in every way. Holy Spirit, help me today. Quicken my mind and heart to direct and guide and say exactly what you've given me to bring this morning. Desire nothing more, nothing less. Pray your blessings now and this time in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Yes, I have doubts. I look at the world today and I have doubts. I look at people and their actions and sometimes I have doubts. There are some things that just don't make sense to me. I have a whole list of things about that just don't make sense. Those doubts I can't help you with this morning, and mine are probably yours, and you have some doubts I wouldn't have today. And it says, and some doubted here. Please recap with me just a moment. The 11, you know, of the 12, who had been with Jesus through all of this. Now listen, not only had they been with him for 3.5 years of ministry and life, these are the 11 men who were in that upper room after Christ's resurrection when the doors were all closed and the Bible said and Jesus appeared to them. They saw him walk through walls and appear to them, not once but twice. And we know from Scripture that Jesus appeared to them a few more times after this. And now he's up and he's got told them, go ahead and meet to Galilee. He didn't go with them. He just said, you go ahead and meet to Galilee. They went and they're on that mountain. They're standing there and then all of a sudden Jesus appears to them again. And they worshiped him. And while some of them are worshiping him, some of them are saying, but I don't know about all this. They're not doubting the weather. They're not doubting the economy. They're not doubting politics. That leaves you a lot of doubts. They're not doubting where the next meal will come from. Look at me. They're not doubting. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, they're not doubting the common things of life. They're looking at the Lord Jesus Christ in a resurrected, living body with the scars of Calvary in his hands, feet, and they're standing in front of them and they're saying, but I'm not sure about all of this about Jesus. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we can't settle all of our doubts today, but those doubts that they had, those we need to settle. And the way to settle those kind of doubts they had is answer three simple questions. And the first question, of course, is this. Who are you doubting? It says, and they saw him. They're seeing Jesus in his resurrected living body. And they're still wondering, is it really him? Then it's not the first time. This is the third or fourth time in his resurrected body that they've seen Jesus appear to them now at least the third time after in a miraculous fashion. It's always funny to me how people say, well, you know, Pastor Johnson, if I saw a miracle, I'd believe then. These guys have seen at least three after Christ's resurrection of him miraculously appearing to them, and they're still doubting. Who are they doubting? They're doubting Jesus. They're doubting, is this really him? Is this really the Son of God? Ladies and gentlemen, can I ask you a question this morning? Do you have any doubts about Jesus Christ? I don't know about people, and I don't know about things, and I don't know about stuff, but I'm going to tell you something this morning. If there's a doubt in your mind about who the Lord Jesus Christ is, you need to settle that, and you need to settle it very clearly and very carefully this morning. We live in a society today that's decided to redefine Jesus according to their likeness or according to what they want to accept or according to what they want to believe. But you look at me this morning. You and I must come and accept the Jesus Christ of the Word of God, that he is the Son of God and God the Son, that he was born of a virgin, that he walked a sinless life on this earth for 33 years, went to the cross, gave his life, dipped his soul into death and hell, rose from the dead bodily, and ascended back to heaven. Not only that, but Jesus Christ was God before he came to this earth. He is Emmanuel, God in human flesh. He's a part of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Yes, the Trinity. Jesus is a part of that. Do you have any doubt in your mind about who Jesus is? Because that's what they're doubting. It's not a what, it's a who. They're looking at him and they're saying, but I'm not sure that this is really Jesus. Well, that's a doubt you have to settle in your life. Oh, by the way, you cannot have salvation until you settle that doubt. See, you can doubt religion, you can doubt all kinds of stuff if you like. You don't have to know everything about the Bible. But did you know the Bible says that if you reject anything about Christ, you cannot have salvation? In other words, you can't believe in the Jesus of society and reject the virgin-born, sinless Son of God, Savior, who died on the cross for you. You can't reject that. You can't reject his virgin birth. You can't reject his sinless life. You can't reject his deity. You can't reject that he is God in human flesh. You can't reject that he died on the cross for salvation and paid for our sins. You can't reject that part. You can't doubt that he died for you to pay for your sins. You see, doubting who Christ is will keep us from salvation. You can't have salvation until you are willing to trust Christ. Do you have doubts about the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, by the way, do you have doubts about the Word of God? I don't understand everything in the Bible. I don't. I read it 55 times, almost 57 times now. And the truth is, there are things I just don't know about the Bible. In other words, I don't understand. I don't get the parable of the unjust steward in Luke chapter 16. I don't get that parable. I know what it is, but I don't get it. I don't understand what it means or what it teaches. I don't understand that. I don't understand how God can get from heaven, Jesus can get from heaven to the cloud level. All the saints' bodies that are in the grave can be raised, changed from corruptible bodies into incorruptible bodies. We which are alive and remain can be changed in the same instant as they are, and then in the same instant catch up to meet the Lord in the air, and in the same instant return to heaven in a twinkling of an eye. I don't understand how that could possibly work. I can't get three people to get out of the door at the same time and get to church on time. How in the world could that possibly be? I have no idea. See, there are things I don't understand about the Bible, but you look at me. I don't doubt that the trump of God will sound and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I don't doubt that God can do that. See, this thing, they're doubting. When Jesus said, go up on Galilee, I'll meet you there. They did what he told them, and he honored what he told them to do. That's what Jesus said. Do you doubt that today? Is there any doubt in your mind about this book, the Word of God, that it is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, and that it is God's record for us today by which we are supposed to live? I wonder if they're doubting their obedience to what Jesus said, because he told them to go up there. Look, what amazes me is he said, go meet me in Galilee up on this mountain. They went up there and he met them and they're going, yeah, I'm not sure about this though. Not sure about what? You just did what he told you and he met you just like he said he would. There shouldn't be any doubts about obedience to God's word now. Is that where you are this morning? You're doubting about whether or not, well, and I love the theologians. I love them. Armchair theologians. Haven't read their Bible through cover to cover one time in their life. But you ask them about certain things, and what do they say? Well, I'm not so sure that's for this dispensation and time in which we live, Pastor Johnson. What website have you gone to? Huh? Well, I'm not sure that's particularly for this time and day in which we live today. Do you understand what time and day you live in? And do you know what part of the Bible applies and doesn't apply? You know, there are parts of this book that don't apply to us today. This past Wednesday night, we did a lesson on dispensations in the Bible. Very theological. Just simply means how God works in our lives in this day and age in which we live. Hey, there's some things in that book we don't do today. We don't do animal sacrifices anymore. We don't honor special days. We don't do all that kind of stuff. That's all gone. But the Bible told us what is and what isn't, so we're okay with that. Are you okay with that? Now look at me. The truth of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, are there any doubts? See, to answer the question, I have some doubts about things. Question, who do you doubt? If you doubt Jesus, you got a problem. If you doubt his word, that's a serious problem. If you doubt obedience to what he tells you, that's an issue. Who are you doubting? Question number two is this. Why are you doubting? These 11 men had seen some amazing things. Ladies and gentlemen, they were in the boat. Remember, Jesus sent them on the other side, got them in a ship, sent them to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. They were in that boat. And Jesus said, I'll meet you over there. They start sailing out and a storm comes up. When the storm comes up, who do they see walking on the water? Jesus. Look at me. There's 24 eyeballs looking over the side of the boat, seeing Jesus Christ walking across the top of the waves. One of them, Peter, says, Lord, bid me come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. And Peter slides down the side of that boat, and he stops above the water just like Jesus did, and he walks to where Jesus is. And they saw it. They saw Peter look at the storm and begin to sink. Didn't get wet, begin to sink. And Jesus takes him by the hand, and they walk back together to the ship, get inside the thing, and the storm calms. That's not the first time, but there'll be another time when Christ would calm the storm while the disciples were in the ship. The other time Jesus was in the boat with them. They saw him break bread and loaves and fishes and feed multitudes. They saw him come to a man's grave who had been dead for 4 days. Say, Lazarus, come forth after they rolled the stone away, and a dead man after 4 days stepped out of that tomb. They saw that. Listen. They saw him come up to a funeral coming out of the city of Nain, and a woman was carrying her young son on a funeral carriage. And Jesus stepped up to the carriage, touched it, and that young man sat up alive. Some of these disciples were in that upper room when he took that young lady's hand, Tabitha. He took Talitha and took her by the hand, and she sat up very much. They saw him raise people from the dead. Walk on water, feed multitudes. I don't know, ladies and gentlemen. And he did it without Hollywood special effects. It was, hey, look at me. It was the real deal. If you have some doubts like these people did, can I ask you a question? Why are you doubting? Look, after all that God has done and you've seen him do, why are you doubting him now? So I've never seen a resurrection, Pastor Johnson. Oh, yeah, you did. I'm not talking about when you got out of bed this morning. A resurrection. You had to quicken who were dead in trespasses and sins. Before you got saved, you were dead in sin. When you got saved, trusted Christ, he made you alive. We were born again. You started a brand new life. You saw that. God did that in you, didn't he? All right, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Oh, you saw that. Well, I haven't seen him feed multitudes, Pastor Johnson. Did he feed you today? Was there bread in your cupboard today? Was there food in your house? Did he put a roof over your head? Hasn't God been good to you, dear Christian? Hasn't he? Haven't you seen amazing things? Haven't you seen God answer prayer where you got on your knees and said, dear Lord, I need this, or I help that and help this person, or do that, Lord, would you please? Would you please? And you saw God answer prayer. What else does he have to do? Why else would we doubt God now? Well, here's the problem. They're doubting what they see instead of what they've seen. They stand there looking at Jesus. You know, they've forgotten about the multitudes and the bread and the fishes and the walking on the water and raising people. They forgot about 3.5 years of seeing Jesus, not just perform miracles, to see God work in them and around them and through them in their life. Hey, these 11 guys were the ones who stood there with the baskets while Jesus took a couple of little loaves and a couple of fishes, broke them, and filled those baskets to feed almost 15,000 people. They were the ones who had the baskets when he did that. They didn't just get down, sit down and eat the meal. They got to serve it and see it. They stood right there and watched him take a little fish and break it until it filled the basket. And when he came back, he's still breaking those little fish and the bread. And they stood right up front and got a front row seat on the whole thing. Haven't you had a front row seat on God doing some great things? Okay, there's one guy. Maybe the rest of you haven't, and that's why we got our doubts today. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I know there's a God. You know why I know there's a God? Because I've seen him work. I've seen his hand move. I've seen his power. I've seen him work. I've seen him bless. And you know, I met him this morning. He was right there today. First part of my morning today, I'm sitting out there with my green tea and honey. Sad, ain't it? For all you people with no character, coffee. You got your coffee. It's all right. We're not Mormons. Don't panic. It's all right. Drink whatever you think you need to do. I was reading a study the other day. It said coffee is bad for you. Bad for your heart and bad for your arteries and bad for this and bad for that. Next day, study said coffee is good for you because it's good for your heart and good for your arteries. So here's what I've decided to do. I'm not reading any more studies. Yeah, all this stuff they tell us is no good for us. 6 months from now, they're going to tell you you need it. So I'm just going to eat whatever I want to eat. I'm going to drink whatever I want to drink. So I got my green tea and my honey. And I'm sitting out there this morning. The hummingbirds are flying around. The birds are singing. It's a beautiful, fresh morning this morning. And I talk to my God. And there's some things I don't understand in life. But I don't doubt him. I don't doubt what God can do. Look at me, friend. You get to that place where you doubt him. And your doubts are because you've lost your faith and confidence that God knows what he's doing. You're in serious trouble now. But isn't it wonderful that the sweet simpleness of faith, of I don't know. I don't know who's going to do what. I don't know how it's all going to turn out. I don't see it. I don't understand it. It doesn't register with me sometimes. But when it's all over and said and done, I don't have any doubt that there's a God in heaven and he has power and ability to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And some doubt it. One more question you need to answer. What happens if you keep doubting? Leave Matthew 28, go to John 21 real quickly, please. Gospel of John chapter 21. This event takes place after Galilee. After the mountaintop, after some of them worshiped, they all worshiped him, but while their heads are bowed, they're saying, oh, we love you, Lord, but I don't know what this is all about. I'm just not sure about this whole thing. Then in Matthew 28, shortly after that, Jesus gives them the great commission of Jesus Christ. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. John 21 is what takes place after that event. They've seen the resurrected Lord. They've seen him. They've been commissioned by him in John chapter 21, please. And after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. On in this wise, he showed himself. Now look at verse 2. Here's what happened next. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael Cana of Galilee and the sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, and two other of his disciples. Verse 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. Now look at me this morning. You know what happened here? They quit. After John 21, verse 1, that's Galilee, that's the mountaintop. That's where they saw him. John 21, verse 2, Peter turns around and says, hey, fellas, you know what? I'm going back to the fishing business. I quit. He's not talking about recreational fishing, drowning worms. He's talking about quitting. Peter was a fisherman when Jesus found him. And when Peter turns to these other disciples, he says, I'm out of here. I'm done. I'm gone. He's good. He said, I'm going back to fishing business. No more of this Jesus stuff. I'm done. Unfortunately, six other disciples said, okay, we'll go with you. Oh, wait a minute. I wonder who was the quitters on these seven disciples. I wonder why. You know why? Look at me. You know why? Because they were in some doubted crowd. Oh, so you know what happens if I don't settle my doubts about the Lord and His Word and obedience to it and that He's been great to me in my life and helped me? If I don't settle those doubts, you know what happens? You're going to be backing out on God before too long. Because that's what these guys did. Some of them stayed with Him, but seven of them said, nah, I'm done. I quit. And by the way, sons of Zebedee, James and John. Peter, James, and John were those three inner circle of the 12. They saw things the other disciples didn't see them. They quit on him. Because, ladies and gentlemen, if we don't settle these doubts, the key doubts, the essential doubts we have about who the Lord is, what His claims are upon my life, what the Bible tells me to do, my obedience to the Word of God, if I don't settle those doubts in my life, do you know what happens? It will not be long until you say, I'm going fishing too. It won't be long until we're backing out on the Lord. You know, we don't want to do that. See, ladies and gentlemen, the truth is, there have been times when I as a pastor, have my doubts about people. There have been times still that way. There are times when I have my doubts about what I do. Boy, there's times I doubt who I am. I was walking down the hall right here one day on a Sunday morning between services. A couple of little bus kids were walking by. I said, good morning, guys. How you doing? This little bus kid looks at me and he goes, who are you? I said, I'm the pastor, son. He goes, you a bus captain? I said, no, I'm just the pastor here. He goes, oh, big deal. And he walked off. Out of the mouth of babes. I just thought, well, thank God he thinks the bus captain is more important than the pastor. That's wonderful. Just kind of reminded me who I am. Yes. I was soul winning, and I went to hand this man a track, and he goes, I go to your church. I said, you do? He said, yeah, I'm there every Sunday. I said, you are? I said, Shasta Baptist Church, over on West Side Road, you know, brown building thing over there. Yeah. He goes, I know your pastor. You do? The track inside had a picture of me. I opened it. I held it up by my face. I go, this guy right here, you know that guy? He goes, yeah, I know him. Talk to him all the time. Really? Ain't he wonderful? I hope he's not the one who sees the guy that kills me. I'll tell you what, this is the last witness. That man's going to walk. Unbelievable. Yeah, I have doubts about who I am. Young man in class one day at the Bible college where I was teaching said, Brother Johnson, can I ask you a question? How do you keep from becoming proud in the ministry? It still makes me laugh. I said, are you serious? He said, yes. And I said, proud about what? I said, I'm preaching a book I didn't write, and a calling that's not mine, and a power that's not mine, a church that doesn't belong to me, to people I don't deserve to have. Proud about what? I said, on top of that, I said, about the time you think you're really something, people will come along and clip your feathers. So it's not a problem. I know. I have doubts about Mike Johnson. I have doubts about, a lot of doubts about me. I have doubts about things. I have doubts about stuff. I have doubts about this. I have a lot of doubts about anything. But ladies and gentlemen, I will not doubt who Jesus is. That His Word is my book and I must live by this book. I don't doubt that obedience to the Bible is the right thing to do. God has proven that faithfully. You see, ladies and gentlemen, if we doubt and we keep doubting in those essential areas, it won't be long until all it takes is one person to say, I'm going fishing. I'm going with you. I understand Peter, James, and John, they were fishermen. They shouldn't have done it anyway, but they were fishermen. Those other fellows shouldn't have quit. They weren't even fishermen. One of them was an IRS man. What's he supposed to do? Sorry. The truth of the matter is... We got former IRS employees who got right and retired. Amen. Quit throwing old people out in the snow. Here's the deal. People, look at me. We shouldn't be doubting Jesus. Settle that in your mind. He is the Son of God. And God the Son We're not going to test the winds of political correctness on that one, okay? Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. He's the Son of God and the Savior. That's it. Don't need to doubt that. Don't need to doubt his book, the Word of God. It's pure, it's perfect, it's inspired, it's preserved, it's kept for me. I have a copy of it in my hands today, and so do you if you hold the Word of God. No, I don't doubt obeying the Bible is the right thing to do. I question sometimes and think, now, Lord, I'm not sure about this, but I'm going to trust you. Look at me. I have failed at obedience to the Bible, but I've never failed when I obeyed it. And some doubt it. In those seven guys that quit that day, one of them's called Thomas, called Didymus. We know him. He's known as what, Thomas? Doubting Thomas. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.